1, 2, 3, 4, Medium Talk.
Yo, what up? And welcome to another episode of Medium Talk on the Blackout Test Premium Network. You know, we podcast, we talk to a lot of folks. Today's no different. This dude goes way back with the show. I remember first hearing him as a shout out master on the Haterazzi radio show, which used to be called the Dark Hater Show. And every once in a while you hear a young man in the background going, shout out to the mamas that do such and such. And you're like, hey, that's funny. Who is that? You know, eventually I remember when he said he was thinking about starting his own show. And that came to fruition. You guys might already know it, might be near and dear to your heart, might already be in your favorites on Stitcher and iTunes and whatnot. So my man, Mr. Span from the Span Report and thespanreport.com. What's going on, Mr. Span?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Running like a chicken with my head cut off today.
Man, I appreciate you making it, man. I know we had some kind of, you know, stressful just getting this thing started, getting everything technically right, and everybody's timing worked out. Been trying to get it done for a couple weeks now, but I'm glad we were able to, you know, get this accomplished.
Yeah, no doubt, bro.
First of all, man, can you tell the people, because, you know, I want to get into, you know, what you do for a living. Can you tell the people what it is you do for a living?
Well, I'm what you would call a maintenance fitter. That's the, like, the official title of the job. But the layman's term, I'm the gas man, dude. Like, I work on all the pipelines underneath the ground, in your house, services, all of that, you know. And right now we're in, like, a really big infrastructure program where we're, like, updating the whole thing. Mm. So it's a massive task. We've been doing it so far since I've been in the program, like, 3 years.
Okay.
And I plan on – it's so much work to be done. I probably will retire and it still be work needing to be done.
Shoot. So and that's just overhauling the infrastructure? That's not even –
That's overhauling the infrastructure. That's putting new services in everybody's house, stores, buildings in the southeastern Michigan area. So everybody with a gas meter inside of the house gotta have these stuff moved outside.
So when like, first of all, how long have you been doing, like, this job?
Well, I've been with the company it'll be 6 years in September, but I've been doing this here it'll be 3 years in September. When I first started, man, like, I was doing meter reading, mm-hmm. you know, in the company. I started off doing meter reading, and then I moved up to underground pipe locating, and then I got into the distribution aspect of it. And, yeah, man, I've been doing this particular part of it 3 years.
Okay, and, like, was the meter reading thing kind of weird? Because, you know, I always wondered about those dudes because I never see them. You know, you just get that notice, like, hey, you've been using a lot of electricity, you've been using a lot of gas. Like, when do they come? Are they like ninjas? Do they purposely hope that you're not there? Like, how do they, you know, how do you deal with, like, somebody that got a fence, you know? Like, how does that work?
Well, usually, like, when I was doing meter reading, man, my it was 7:30 to 3:30 every day. Mm-hmm. So I had a route every day that I had to do, might have 600 or 700 meters on it, depending on the area. But usually, like, say, for instance, you saw mine when, like a gate may be locked or something, mm-hmm. that meter just doesn't get read unless, of course, they might have a radio frequency meter. I can use the computer and it'll pick up the radio frequency from the meter and that'll give you a read. But if you did just had a regular analog meter, that meter just wasn't getting read.
Mm. So how do they tell if it's, you know, accurate or whatever?
Like, well, What happens when the meter doesn't get read is the company estimates your usage for that month.
Okay.
So a lot of times you'd have to take a look at the bill, and if it doesn't say an actual read, they were guessing how much shit you used that month.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Back in my old apartment, we had meters in the back for, like, the electricity and stuff, but we had fences. And I kept my shit locked. I'm black. You know what I mean? You can't just walk up in my yard, dog. You better give me a call first or something. Yeah. And I always wonder, like, is he hopping the fence? Like, how is he getting this shit? So.
Oh, man, no, I wasn't hopping no fences at all, man. I mean, that was shit. That helped my day go by fast when the door locked. Oh, all right. On to the next one, goddammit.
It's going to be a short day. Might get home early.
Might, man. I remember, dude, like, when I was in meter reading, some of the older cats, you'd have some older cats that had been doing it for a while. They'd be finished with, like, 1,000 meters at like 11 o'clock in the morning, like, wow. Shit, but they knew their routes, you know what I'm saying? They knew exactly, they had a way they were going about doing it. They were cold with it. And when they were talking about phasing meter reading out, you know, a lot of those guys held on to that shit to the bitter end. They wasn't going nowhere because they had it good,
and they were trying, I'm assuming they gave y'all opportunities to like change over your expertise or move into new, different fields, and they probably were like, nah, dog, I get up at 11 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have any incentive to leave because they had the best routes, you know, seniority, so they had the best routes. They were finished every day at 11 o'clock so they can go home. They home the rest of the day, but they're still on the clock technically, but their work is finished, and they were already getting paid top dollar. So, like, when I came in the meter reading, you were only topping out at like $12. But these guys, before the, you know, before the new contract had come in, they were already making $20 an hour reading meters.
Shit.
They were grandfathered into that shit. So I'm making $20 an hour. I'm home every day at 11 o'clock and I get the sweetest routes every day. No, I'm a rock this shit till the wheels fall off.
You can't blame them.
And that's
him.
What they did.
You really can't blame them, man.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. But so, I hated meter reading, man. I hated it to, I couldn't wait to get out of that shit.
Yeah, what sucked about it, man? I'm assuming the weather, being in the elements, maybe?
Man, being in the elements, you had a certain read percentage. So, like, every, you know, you were accountable to have a certain amount of meters read every month. So they were looking for you to hold this standard line of, okay, this is, like, typically this route, you get 98% of the meters read. Okay, now if I have a really shitty day, I'm still accountable for that 98%. Like, and I got to explain, well, why couldn't you get in here? What happened over here? That type of deal. And I hated my boss, man. I couldn't stand that lady. I couldn't stand that lady. It's like she was out to get me.
Yeah, a bad boss will make any job, any good job suck. Either, even if it is a good job, just dealing with that shit every day. Like, I got to see your ass again, and you got the authority to make my life worse. Ugh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I remember one time I was out. I had a really shitty truck, man, because you have to drive your own vehicles or whatnot.
Okay.
And I had this really shitty truck. I had an 89 F-150. Really, it was a piece of shit. I only paid $200 for it. But it, Big Blue got me through quite a few times. But, like, I had car trouble doing my route. And so I had to have somebody from the office come in, you know, come out to my route, drop me off the different parts of the route so that I could finish, you know, finish my work or whatever. But there was a couple meters that I didn't read, because it was like, you had a couple ways to do it. Like, what I would do, like, to keep, cause I was new at it. This is when I was brand new at meter reading. So what I would do is I would leave those meters open so I could go back to them if I had an opportunity to. I didn't know anything about what they call bookmarking. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna leave these open. But by the end of the day, I didn't have a chance to go back to go read those meters. So I put it down as like I skipped them out, you know. And like the next day, she comes up to me. She's like, Antoine, did you work yesterday? It's like, yeah, I worked. Like, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, that was kind of strange. And she comes up to me the next day. She's like, Antoine, do you know what can't read meter is? Like, yeah, I know exactly what can't read meter is. I'm like, well, what is it? She asked me for like the definition of can't read meter. Like, I couldn't read the motherfucker. I couldn't get to it.
Right.
So she's like, well, what about can't locate premises? Like, this is some self-explanatory shit. Like, I couldn't find the damn place. I wasn't about to like waste a whole half hour looking for one fucking meter. So basically, like, she held on to this, and there's this thing called curbstoning where motherfuckers are just like punch numbers in, except without actually reading the meters.
Oh, okay. Like, guesstimating.
Right. They just throwing numbers in there and hoping that the computer would take it so they can just roll on or whatever. And she was basically trying to accuse me of that.
Oh, wow.
She was trying to accuse me of curbstoning or whatever. So I had to have a union rep in the meeting with me, and she's talking about they were sending it up for an investigation. Like, but I didn't read the meters. I skipped them out because I couldn't read the damn meters. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what now, where's the term curbstoning? Like, what does it that mean, curbstoning?
You know what? That's just one of those terms they've come up with. I don't know exactly what the origination of the term was, but I'm assuming if somebody was just sitting on the motherfucking curb, just punching up.
Like, yeah, dog, I got to hurry up, get this shit in. 1700, yeah, that's man. About right.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's what happened, man. Like, I hated that job. I contemplated quitting many a times, man. Like just dealing with people, dealing with the office, dealing with the elements. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get out of meter.
Now, was this this is in Detroit?
Yeah, this was in Detroit.
So then also, what were the restrictions on weather? Like, was there ever a time where they were like, all right, guys, don't worry about it today. It's a little too cold, a little too hot. It's snowy. Anything like that?
There was never, it was too hot. if it was warm outside, your ass is going out. If it was raining outside, you was going out. The only thing that would keep the meter readers from going out was if we had it negotiated in the contract that if the temperature hit 18 below zero, we weren't going out.
Wow.
And so what management would do is they would have us sit in the office and they would wait to see if the temperature would rise up to 17 below.
Holy shit.
If it went up to 17 below, we were going outside. We were reading meters.
How did they get to that 18 below figure, I wonder?
I have no idea. I know it was a couple of times where I just said, man, fuck that, and called in. Like, I'm not going. Yeah. Like, it's not happening, man. I am not going to work today.
18 below sounds like they came to that number after, like, five dudes didn't make it back, you know? It's like, all right, that's about enough. 18 below, we had seven niggas freeze to death. This is not what we need to do, man. Yeah. Now, whenever you read a meter, is anybody ever home? Like, do you ever run into the people that are there?
Yeah, that would happen all the time, man. Like, you go into a yard, 9 times out of 10, I would yell out meter reader, especially when you're going into somebody's backyard. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just, like, announcing myself, like, meter reader. So, you know, people would know somebody's in the backyard. He's there to read the meter. His ass is going to leave in a second. I would do that for me and for them. You know, so like, it's been a few times where people were like, hey man, you almost got shot. I'm like, well, hell, I got on this big ass orange yellow vest and I said meter reader. Now, I don't know if you heard me or not, but yo, I'm here to read the meter. But more often than not, those are people that were like, you know, that were in like shutoff status. You could always tell, like, the people that were like really jumpy about somebody being in the yard was the people worrying about being shut off.
Okay. And like, so sometimes would you get confused with the shut off man, like the meter reader dude, got, you know, he still probably got similar uniform and they're just like, oh hell, he's about to cut my power off.
You know what? I've had that one time. I've had that happen one time, but more often than not, what I would tell people is that the meter reader is walking up the block. The shut off man ain't walking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got a car. He's got a truck. He's gonna roll up. He's gonna shut your shit off and he rolling the fuck out. He is not gonna be walking up the block shutting folks off. He getting the hell out of there.
Right. Right.
Because I used to do shutoffs before I became a meter reader.
Oh, that sounds way more dangerous.
Oh man, I used to love shit. I don't want to make it like that's a bad thing to say. I used to love doing shutoffs.
I love people having cold houses. Mm.
Nah, but real talk, man, like before I did meter reading, man, I was doing shutoffs. And just like I was talking about the older guys with meter reading, you know, they would get off early every day. You know, they had the best routes and everything else. Man, when I was doing shutoffs, I was off at 11 o'clock every day.
Wow.
Sitting at home playing Call of Duty on the clock till 5. You know, just, you know, I was able to, I got it to a point where I had it down. I knew what the hell I needed to do. I had a certain number I had to hit every day. Once I hit my number, I was like, all right, I'm good and I can roll out.
Now, why'd you get out of shutoffs?
Because I wasn't an employee. I was a contractor.
Okay.
So I wanted the security of, you know, like being an actual employee of the company, being a union member, just, you know, the benefits were a whole hell of a lot better being a union employee as opposed to just being out there contracting, because they can let you go whenever the fuck they want to when you contract.
Right. You got a daughter and stuff. I definitely understand that, man. So, but like, What about shutoffs? You ever run into somebody when you were going to shut that shit off?
Yeah, all the time, man. All the time.
Now, how does that work? Because to me, I feel like, you know, maybe it's just my stereotypical, it's Detroit. I feel like that wouldn't go over well.
It's all in how you talk to people. It's all in how you talk to people. So.
So give me the, all right, let's do a scenario right now. You coming to shut my shit off. How do you talk to me? You know, you knock on my door first or something?
I knock on the door first.
All right. So
first thing I do, knock on the door. Now I got this stack of shut off orders on this clipboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I give these people the amount of time for me to fold this piece of paper up for them to get to the door.
Okay.
If I'm walking around to the back, it's a wrap. I'm about to cut something off. So, but usually when somebody would come to the door, you know, just, you know, you have to tell them like, look, you know, I got a shut off order here for you, your electric and your gas services and whatnot. And, you know, off top, people are going to be defensive. They're embarrassed.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you'll hear a lot because there's a lot of people in Detroit that want public assistance. Mm. So, public assistance would actually, you know, help pay a portion of the bill. And they would always say that, you know, like, well, aid was helping me pay this. It was like, well, yeah, they did. Like, I would call in the office, like, yeah, this person is saying that, you know, they had an arrangement with public aid or whatever. And public aid would pay it. But these people owed so much that whatever public aid put up wasn't enough to keep it out of shutoff status. So, like, it was nothing for me to get a bill or see somebody's shutoff order and it'd be like $3,800, $4,200, something like that. And public assistance is only paying like $500 at the time.
Yeah, that's a big misconception a lot of people have with public aid programs anyway. You always hear all this government mutuals and lazy, no good for nothing. It's like, I don't know how much you think these checks are worth, but no government program gives you what they're not going to let you be comfortable. It's like, yeah, if you want to turn the heat on for 5 minutes a day, then we got you. After it's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were on the hook for that, you know, for that money or whatever. So, you know, more often than not, I would do this. Mm-hmm. I would talk myself into the house. I would try to talk myself into the house. Mm-hmm. If the gas meter was in there, I would say, I would hook them up with a little scenario. I'd be like, you know what? Look, you would much rather have this gas cut off than to not have any electricity.
Mm.
Why? Because with electricity, you could still go get space heaters. Mm-hmm. You could still cook food. Your refrigerator is still running. At 6 o'clock in the wintertime, it's dark outside. You still got lights and you can still watch TV. You can still read books or whatever. With these lights out, you can't do none of that shit. Mm. You'd be warm, but you can't do shit else. You can't see nothing. You can't do nothing. Your food going bad and everything else. Let me in the house. I'll turn the gas off. I'll let you leave these lights on until y'all can figure something else out. Mm. Or try to figure something else out before they send somebody else's ass back out here to come get this shit.
Okay, so now your responsibility was only to the gas, so like you wouldn't get in trouble for leaving the lights on?
I wouldn't leave in trouble. Well, the thing of it was they wanted something cut off. Okay. It could have been either or. So a lot of times when I would put what I would do is if I knew I couldn't get to that electric meter,
mm-hmm.
I would talk myself into getting that gas meter. They didn't even know that like I couldn't get to the electric meter. So they're just like, I still got to cut. So I got a number that I got, you know, that I still have to hit every day. So even if I could have got two, at least I didn't walk away with nothing. I still got one.
Right. Okay.
And they still had something. See, a lot of it is just like leaving folks with some dignity. Like you go up to somebody's porch, knocking on the door, like, yeah, man, you should have paid this shit.
Right.
Now I'm about to come cut it off. Like, motherfucker, if you don't get the fuck off my porch.
Yeah.
And they got every right to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, get the fuck off my porch before I blast your ass. And it was guys at the job, man, that was acting like that. Like, man, these motherfuckers act like this shit free. And they're like, dude, just act like you just treat some people with some respect, have some empathy for the situation. A lot of these folks got kids in the house. They desperate. They don't know what to do. They can't really pay the shit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
So just treat people with respect, man. And more often than not, you walk away, come home all in one piece.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people probably do that, I would think, to make themselves not feel bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that, like, it's not because that dude's an evil person, but if he, I think human beings do this a lot anyway. if you make it seem like the person deserves what's coming to them, then you don't have to feel empathy for them, and then it doesn't like absorb into your soul. I think people do it with college athletes all the time, celebrities, you know, where like something tragic happens to them, but you could be like, man, fuck Kanye West and his dead mama. He deserved that shit. You can say that because you're not thinking of him on a human level. Right. And, you know, a job like that, man, that's crucial. Where you got to go turn off, you know, people's heat and electricity. I'm sure a lot of those dudes tried to turn it into like, yeah, they had it coming.
Oh, trust him. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I've had plenty of those moments, too, mm-hmm. where I'm in a situation. I'll give you one. I never forget this guy. He was in the Boston Edison District in Detroit. Real historic district. Big ass houses and stuff like Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight. All these like Motown folks used to have homes in the Boston Edison District, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm there to shut the stuff off. And as I'm walking up to the house, I'm noticing this Benz sitting on 22s in the driveway. I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. And then I knock on the door. Guy comes to the door. He's like, he got this chain, man. He's dripping. I mean, like dripping in diamonds, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if the chain was real or not,
right?
But the motherfucker looked real enough to me, right? So right. I'm like, damn, you know, I had to step back, like shit. And I'm telling him, like, yeah, man, I'm here. You know, I'm here to turn. You know, I got to turn the lights and the gas off. And he was like, oh man, welfare was supposed to help us with this. And I'm like, what?
In the big, like, ass chain?
Nigga, I'm like, nigga, you need to pawn that fucking chain, take the rims off that fucking car, and pay this fucking bill, dude. Like, and then, so he calling this girl, like, baby, they here to cut the stuff off. Right? So I'm walking up the side of the house. I'm headed to the electric meter, and I'll be damned if she don't pull up in another motherfucking Benz.
Damn.
With dubs.
No way.
I'm like, I pull the meter, lock the shit up or whatever, and she's like going off like, why you fucking with us? Why you fucking with us? You could have went to somebody else's house. Why you fucking with us? And I was like, nice car. As I walked off, I'm like, yeah, that's a real nice car.
It's like, you, I know at that point you felt like you were being punked. Like,
yeah, I was like, man, what? Like, seriously? Like, nigga, like this chain, like I make decent money now. Mm-hmm. I couldn't fathom buying no shit like that
right
now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, like, what are you doing? And then, like, the Benz, the two Benzes, both of them on dubs. Y'all in this big ass house. Ain't nobody got no money to pay this light and gas bill.
It's crazy, too, that I guess that's one of the people's go to moves, to act surprised. Because you get so many notifications. Like, I've been behind on bills before, especially when we first moved in together, first started off. You know, I remember Karen lost her job. Like, I wasn't making that much, you know, first year in my real job. So it was like a struggle. And we had to pick some months. Like, all right, man, look, this cable bill, we just gonna have to let it get rolled another month and see what we can do from behind, catch up. Mm-hmm. Even something like that, I'm getting email, I'm getting 3 or 4 letters in the mail, I'm getting phone calls, like just the cable for 1 month. Yeah. $3,800 worth of heat. Like, somebody, like, you can't be shocked when they show up to be like, dawg, we turning this shit off.
Yeah, that was a thing. It was like, but, you know, and it was funny because, like, the very first time I was out there by myself, this was after I'm out of training and I'm out there by myself, the very first house I get, they're having a birthday party. It's a bunch of kids there.
Damn. Right?
And it's early in the day. I want to say it's about maybe 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Almost 12 because, like, sun's out and whatnot. And they jamming. They in that, like, party banging for some kids, you know? And I knock on the door. And I hand them, you know, I'm like, yo, it's a shut off order.
Yeah.
For the, like, that.
Hey, that shit seemed like a test. They should make everybody do that, by the way. Your first day, they should set up a fake house where your first day, you show up and it's adorable children, like clowns. party music, you know, Barney, a person in a Barney costume, and then you have to show up and be like, hey, man, hey.
Yeah, dude, I felt like I was being punked. I'm like, why today, man? Like, because my boy Brian was like training me, and he wasn't training me no more. I'm like, damn, why today? So I'm like, shut off order for the lights and gas. Now, the lady took it, mm-hmm. and she went back in the house. Like I ain't said shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
thanks for informing me.
Right. So I'm like, all right.
It's not a subpoena. Like this an action order. I got to do something. I can't just leave here.
So I go in the back. I pull the meter. I lock it up.
Now do the kids?
Whole house flushed out.
Oh,
no. That whole house met me in that backyard.
Oh my God.
So they like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing? I'm like, I just told y'all it was a shutoff order for the lights and the gas. Like, I thought this was a notice. I'm like, when was the last time the motherfucking utility company handed you a notice?
Seen a person out.
You get that shit in the mail.
They thought this is the next level.
Like, no, by the time you see me, it's a wrap.
Right.
It's a wrap, dude. Like, I'm trying to, like, talk to these people. Like, nah, man, it's fucked up. You need to turn that shit back on. I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
We got the clown in here. We was just playing Barney.
I can't do that. And you know, but you run into that type of thing all the time, man, where, you know, like I said, it's an embarrassment thing because they throwing the birthday party, but this motherfucking bill ain't been paid. And it's like, okay, the priorities as to where the money could have went, yada, yada, yada. They ain't none of my business. I got a job to do.
And that's horrible timing for them, too. You know, just
yeah.
they just
yeah.
happen to schedule the birthday party on the day the shit get cut off. Because I know they became that house in all the family. Like, you know.
You got your shit cut off on the birthday party.
Happy birthday. Click, click. I bought her. I bought her a Sega Genesis. She ain't never going to get to play it. Oh man, don't buy nothing electric, bring batteries.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy, dude. Now, have you ever had anybody like straight up threaten you or try to like fight you or anything like that?
Yep.
Oh, I got man.
Guns pulled on me a couple times.
Shit. You should get like an extra couple hours when you get a gun pulled. You should be able to call in and be like, hey man, go ahead, throw two more hours on that. Just had a gun pulled on me.
Well, you know what? Usually when we have like an irate customer or something like that, what they would tell us to do is just leave. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just leave the scene or whatever, call it into a supervisor. And like, I've actually like, even like, I've had women like threaten to go get guns and everything else. Like, I'm not going to let you cut my shit off. I got my babies in here. And you know, I'm like, well, look, still trying to talk to folks, man. Cause again, I understand I've had my shit cut off before. Mm. So I get it, but I'm still trying to talk to folks and like, look, man, you could do that, but you only going to make this a whole hell of a lot worse because I was only going to cut it off from the meter. But if you go ahead and go about that action, now the company is coming out here. They digging your shit up in the yard. They cutting your shit off from the pole and your ass going to jail.
Hmm.
Now, you can let me cut this gas meter off, because again, you know, you would much rather have them lights than not have, you know, you much rather be without gas than be without lights. You can let me go ahead and cut this gas off. You got other options as to how you can, you know, but when people are being unreasonable, they ain't trying to hit none of that shit. All right. I'll leave.
And if they got a gun, I mean, really, there's not like, much you can do.
Like, you know what? It ain't worth my life, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I still got to go home in one piece.
And now you guys can't be armed, I'm assuming, while on the job.
Nah, man.
Yeah, because I mean, that's too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I mean, and I'm not a person that's against guns or anything. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit before we get off. But yeah, I'm not against guns or anything, but I do recognize that every situation ain't a good situation for a gun. And probably like having to cut someone's shit off, they might be armed, and if you armed and you know motherfuckers gonna get that tension blowing, like, I'm sure a lot of companies be like, we don't want to involve a gun in this, even though you're probably putting your life at danger a little bit every time you go out.
Every time you go out, your life is, and that's the thing though, like, so, you know, if you got a gun, you could always justify it with like, I felt threatened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You threaten every day. Multiple times a day, you threaten a lot of times. So, what the company ended up doing, they started giving like a lot of the collectors, they started supplying them with vests.
Okay.
You know, so it was a lot of the guys out there, they wearing, you know, bulletproof vests and stuff while they working and whatnot. But
like, what is that like, the day they put a bulletproof vest on your desk, dog? Like, you know what I mean?
Nah, it was
like,
I was mad because they didn't give me one.
Right. Well, that's a catch 22, right? Cause it's like, hey, we've been listening to your complaints and, your concerns with the job. We got you guys bulletproof vests. So, when you get shot, you might live. It's like, damn, this the kind of job I got out. Put on a bulletproof vest, or where's my bulletproof vest? You know what I mean? Like, it's catch 22. Like,
I was out of shutoffs. By the time they started doing that, it hadn't gotten to that point where they actually started outfitting the guys with the bulletproof vest. I was already like in the company and stuff like that doing meter reading. But yeah, it got worse, man. People start like, you know, people got desperate. That's really all it boiled down to, man. It's a lot of desperate folks in the city, and you taking, you know, lights, you taking gas, you know, these are lifebloods. You can't have a house isn't hospitable or habitable without these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in there, you the guy that's supposed to take this away, and they got these babies in the house and everything else, man. They ain't trying to hear that shit. They gonna do what they gotta do a lot of times. And unfortunately, the field collector is the one that catches the brunt of that.
Now, do y'all ever have the police get involved where it's like the police are gonna escort you to turn off this customer shit because they've been irate?
No, because what ends up happening is if that customer's irate and they've shown that, you know, already, usually, like, the first collector, once the collector gets that person, they've had a gun pulled on them or whatever else, once they make that phone call, that person is now being, their services are being terminated from the gas main and from the power line outside.
You know?
And then they're going to jail.
Oh,
it's,
shit.
It's a felony now to assault a utility worker.
Wait, did it not used to be?
It wasn't before.
Holy shit.
It wasn't before. They just had legislation passed, I want to say two or three years ago, where it became a felony to assault a utility worker.
Now, did that count for temps or contractors?
It counts for everybody that works with the utility.
Okay. Companies. Now, does that count when you're off duty? Like, when we go play ball together and, you know, I undercut you and shit because I don't want to get dunked on. Am I going to go to prison?
No, dog. Okay. It's only when we're on duty, man. Only on the clock.
That shit, I would be using that card for everything, dog. I'd be cheating and everything in basketball. They'd be like,
Oh, really?
Punch me if you want, dog.
You know who I am, motherfucker?
Pull out my orange vest. Wait a minute. I'll play ball in my orange vest and shit. Lay a hand, foul me hard if you want to, nigga. I'll be like a Zoe at the end of training day. I put cases on all your asses. Shoot program. So the other thing is, like, did you ever know anybody that got assaulted while on duty? Like, y'all ever have? Do y'all swap those stories? Is that a thing where, hey, I remember when you got punched in the face. Or, I remember when you got shot.
Nah, that mean, because, like, we never really had any big instances like that while I was doing that.
Okay.
But usually, like, in the morning huddle, like, every morning meeting, you know, you would talk about your near misses, you know, the near misses where you probably could have got hurt and everything else. And you would tell people, you know, I had this situation. It's kind of hot over here, so be careful. You know, that type of deal.
Mm.
But like I said, we always had this one guy. It was this one older dude named Sam. He was like a hothead, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, like, Sam always had an instance where somebody almost whooped his ass or shot him because of how he was talking to folks. And he was just like, dude, you can't walk up to people's houses, man, talking crazy. They gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a couple instances where he was like this, you know, this close to it happening, but it never happened, you know, thank God. But,
I work at the Y part time. I'm a basketball court monitor. And there's another dude that works there. Now, I don't take the shit serious. Like, if you didn't know to ask me, you would never know I was working. Cause right. I don't put my badge on. Cause, you know, I've been around black people my whole life. I played basketball my whole life. I kind of know the game where, like you said, people want to have dignity. And if you understand the psychology of that, you don't have to act the ass to get them to do what you want them to say. You can talk to them like a human being. 9 times out of 10, they will do exactly what you want them to do.
Yep.
You know, so for example, one of the rules at the Y, you're not supposed to curse. You're not supposed to dunk and hang on the rim. So, you know, a guy dunks the ball You know, I'll say, hey, no dunking, man. You know, point at the sign or something like that. Or, you know, my joke is, that's your last warning. Dude might have dunked seven times, but I always say that's your last warning. And normally it only takes one or two times of that. They'll laugh it off, but they, you know, they'll stop doing it. Cause it's like, you know, they recognize I'm at work, you know, or I'll appeal to their better nature and be like, dude, I'm on the clock right now. You know, don't embarrass me in front of these white folks, man. I'm just trying to get my free membership like you, dog. Right. And nine times out of 10, it works fine. Now there's another dude that works there, Quint. And he's like, you say his name was Sam?
Yeah.
He's kind of like that Sam at this job. Now keep in mind, this is a $7.50 an hour job. This ain't money. Right. Like, I don't even clock in when I do this shit half the time. Cause it ain't worth the money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even want the tax dollars. Just keep that shit. Right.
Right.
But he's like, you know, he'll come in and be like, yeah, you need to stop. Hold up. Stop the game. The clock could be running. It could be 4 seconds left. It could be down to the last shot. Stop the game. I said, no dunking. Now listen to me. Listen here. Everybody gather around. And I'm like, you're making the shit worse. Technically, you are doing your job. But when you yell at people like this, you're only making it worse because now they have no dignity. He told one man, a grown man one day, to shut up. And that man, all the jokes went out of the room, dog. He really just turned to him and was like, look, I know you didn't tell me to shut up. That's like, it got so serious, man. Cause like you can't strip dignity from a person like that, man. That like, I that seems, and you just made me think like if Quint had to cut someone's power off, he would be dead within a week, dude. Someone would have to kill him. Cause he would show up. Now, you know, you shouldn't have been doing all this, spending on this. What kind of chain is that? What kind of car is it? Like, yo, all of a sudden your ass would be dead, man.
Yeah, man.
So another thing, man, like, does anybody try, cause you're talking to desperate people. Does anybody try to barter their way out? Like, hey, man.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. Dude, well, I can't tell you how many free titties I done seen. How many, like, dollars have been dropped on the ground that I'm supposed to step on and act like don't nobody know I did it.
Look, and now are the titties worth, an extra couple of days of power? Are these those titties you're like, this is why you ain't got no power? Sometimes, maybe, questionable.
Couple, I was like, you know what, baby, I'm go ahead, like, hurry up and take care of that.
Yeah, I'll be back at 5.
Hurry up and take care of that. But,
I know, like, you got something on the stove. I can come back in a couple hours.
Yeah, man. Like, but you had cats that are like, drop a 50 on the porch. Like, come on, man. Like,
take that. Yeah, now, did you ever...
Like, you couldn't get in, man. Come on, dog.
Did you ever get tempted to be like, oh, those are some nice Jordans?
Dude, I was tempted quite often, but... It was like, it was one of those things like, God damn.
Yeah.
Like, this $50 ain't worth my job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, me too. I'm more scared. I'm that type of scared where I know there's a reason. I probably won't get caught. It probably won't be a big deal. But I'm more, my mind goes to that place where I'm like, you know, when I'm in court, this motherfucker's testifying against me, and seven people on the block gonna change the story to I extorted them for Jordan's titties and $50. Now I'm going to prison. Like, in my mind, I'm already in prison at this level because I took $50 one time, so I could never do it.
Well, my thing was just like, I wasn't trying to be unemployed again.
Yeah,
because I was dealing with that, and I was just like, you know what, dude, like, you can take that $50 and put that towards your bill, bro. Like, I still got a job to do. $50 extra right now would be nice.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
And the thing is, they probably would tell.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but, and another thing with that is because it was not like, the shutoff men actually, at one point, they used to take payments.
Oh, you know, like, wow.
They used to, like, so if the shutoff man was to show up at your door, you could be able to, like, either give him cash or give him a check or whatever, and that's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to, of course, you know, deposit that money in with the company and everything else and your bills take care of, blase, splee, or whatever. But they stopped doing that after a while because guys were getting robbed.
Mm.
You know, they were like, yo, the field collector, we know this motherfucker got money on him. they was robbing them. Mm. So they stopped letting the field collectors accept payments. So a lot of times people were like, well, I could pay it right now. You know, I could pay it right now. It's like, I can't take that. Mm. How much is the bill? And they look at the bill like $300. Like, hurry up, call them right now. I'll stand here till you call them, get a payment done. And then I'll leave them alone. Like, right. You can pay that $300. Go ahead. Do hurry up real quick. Take care of that. I ain't got cut off nothing. You still good. But when you looking at somebody and they bill like $3,800, right, and you looking at where they at, like, this motherfucker ain't got the means to pay this shit.
Yeah. It's like, man, just take the L, bro.
Yeah, man. Like, let me get something. Like, if I can't get to that electric meter, I'm trying to get to that gas meter. It's been more often than not, man, I'm going to get one. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to have this thing, man. I had got so cold with it to where, like, I would peep out where the gas meter was before I knocked on the door. So it was another thing too, like, because we some houses have like, it would be an outside valve for the mm-hmm. gas. The meter's inside, but the valve is on the outside of the house. So I got so cold with it, man. Like, I would cut the gas before I even knocked on the door. Mm-hmm. They don't even know shit cut off yet. So I'm knocking on the door. They're like, nah, man, I ain't letting you in. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. All right. You don't know this motherfucking gas off already.
Mm-hmm.
Till it's about to get cold in the sun. But he's like, wait. Why the motherfucking water won't get hot? Hey, baby. You trying to take a shower? You use all the hot water? Nah. This motherfucker, they cut off.
Does that count as one, two, if you cut it from outside?
Yeah, I mean, because so long as it's cut and locked off, I've done my job. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I used to have people tell me this all the time, because there's a lot of energy theft going on in Detroit. And folks would tell you, like, man, fuck you, man. It's going to be right gone as soon as you leave. Like, I don't give a fuck what you do after I'm gone. So long as I did what I was supposed to do while I was there, I'm cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Damn, dog. That was crazy. An
eventful job. I honestly, dude, I've seen some of the strangest shit just being out amongst people in the field, man. You see some of the strangest shit. I never forget, I was on the east side of Detroit one time, man, and I got my uniform on, got my clipboard, and it was a car full of chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Car full of chicks. It was this big girl in the back
mm-hmm.
with no shirt on. No motherfucking bra on.
Right.
And they called me over to the car, and I didn't notice until I walked up to the car. Like, man, what the fuck? And a girl's like, yo, what you doing? I'm like, I'm the shut off man. She's like, you shutting off lights? I said, yeah. She's like, can you come shut off my lights?
Oh, man. They flirting like, with you?
Really? Yeah, man. Man, like I told you, man. Like, you see a lot of free titties and shit like that out in the field when I was doing that, man. It was crazy. Like... Because they feel like, you know, if they show me this, then he might just walk away. Make him think he going to get some, girl.
Right.
Like, nah, man.
I still got to cut your shit off, man.
I still got to cut something off, baby. I'm sorry.
Right. It's like a pimp. Cold gang, baby.
I'm sorry.
Ass gas or cash, literally. Mm-hmm. Now, you ever see somebody that shit you cut off, but like outside, like in regular life, like not when you're on the clock, but like at the supermarket or something?
Yep. What at the barbershop.
Did they ever recognize you?
He didn't recognize me, and I was glad in the motherfucker. Ooh. He didn't recognize me. Because I recognized him. I'm like, I seen this motherfucker before. Like, I'm at the barbershop, and I'm like, I seen this motherfucker before. And I'm trying to remember where I saw him from. He ain't paying me no attention because he talking shit with everybody else in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just sitting there waiting to get my hair cut or whatever. And I'm like, that's the motherfucker that was at the crib talking about his girl wasn't home. He couldn't let me in.
Like,
I ain't gonna say shit.
Thank God when you walk in, they don't be like, hey, shut off, man. What's up, dog?
I'm sorry, man. I ain't even hear what you said. My man, headphones popped out.
Oh, I said, thank God when you walk in the bar, they don't be like, hey, shut off, man. What's up, everybody? Right. You shut anybody off today?
Right, man. Like, you know, now when we do shut offs, man, it's like a crew of 10 of us out there. So I ain't out there by myself because we digging shit up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I do miss like doing the shut offs sometimes, but
I mean, yeah, man. Free titties is a good perk. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's a shitty, shitty job, like, you get a free, like, honestly, man, I would take below minimum wage at McDonald's if they could just throw a titty in there, like, once a shift. You know what I mean? Like, all right, you know, I guess $4.50 is worth it.
It was all worth it.
Yeah, $4.50, I could stretch that. I could see what I could do with this check this week. Now, did you ever, amongst the crew, did y'all ever have like kind of a competition where it's like who can shut off the most shit? Y'all have like certain quotas, like people that go above and beyond? Like, were there people that kind of enjoyed shutting people shit off?
No, because they're like, for us, with the work that we're doing now, ain't no money in it for us to shut people off.
Okay.
So like,
what about back in the day though?
I don't know about back in the day. Okay. Like when I first got there, it was all about we doing renewals. Now if we have to shut somebody off, we will.
Okay.
If we have like say for instance, like what, like I said, what we do is we pretty much we upgrading everything. We upgrading the infrastructure. Now we have somebody on the credit sheet, they in shut off status. We like, okay, we probably have to dig them up while we doing this other renewal. Like, you know, you got one gas main on one side of the street, but that gas main is for both parts, you know, both parts of the street or whatever. So I might have a renewal for this short side, but that long side across the street, they got to get cut. They both in the same hole. We're going to cut them off while we renewing this other one. There's more money in it for us to do the renewal than for us to cut them people off. Mm-hmm. You know, because most of the work we do now is incentivized. So, you know, like the crew, the way it's a funky little formula that they got, mm-hmm. but like the crew, we could charge the company, like, I think it's $182 an hour for a service renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And a service renewal normally takes a regular crew 11 hours. Wow. We can do a service renewal in like 45 minutes.
Mm.
So the more we can do, you know, the more that bonus, because all of that stuff counts towards our monthly bonuses and whatnot. So the more renewals we do, the bigger that bonus gets. And so guys are real hungry about getting those renewals done because that's where the money is at.
Okay. Yeah, that's dope, man. I'm glad you're at a place, man, where, you know, the work is more like steady. You got, you know, like you actually got an official position. My dad is a contractor by trade, both for computer stuff. And, you know, that contract life, man, like it has its perks, like, cause he was basically getting paid a lot in cash for what he did. Cause it was basically like, look, we ain't taking no health insurance out of this shit. We ain't putting nothing in no 401k for your ass. You got to do all this on your own, but here's a whole lot of money per hour. So it's cool for getting shit done. But then on the back end, it's like, damn, I gotta go insure my kids. I gotta fucking take care of my savings. You know, like it's a lot of work, you know, that the company wasn't doing for them, that it was doing for a lot of other people. So, you know, I could definitely understand. I'm sure that's a huge relief for you.
Oh man, shit. Like I said, when I first started the podcast, I was doing meter reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was broke.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
It was a struggle, man. Like, It was a lot of times, man, I'm sitting in the crib like, man, how the fuck am I going to pay this rent this month? Mm. Do I got to go borrow? Like, I had gotten to, like, payday loans and shit like that.
Yeah.
Doing meter reading. Like, now, I don't really have those kind of worries. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm able to kind of go out and buy shit I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? I think I will go cop that Xbox One today.
That is one of the things that I think people take for granted. Cause, you know, I think everybody should be broke at some point in their life. I really think it adds character, to be honest.
Yeah.
It sucks when you're going through it, but as soon as it's over, you're like, oh yeah, this is what it feels like to want something and to be able to have it.
Yep.
You know, cause like when you broke, you be looking at shit like, man, what would that be like?
Yeah.
And it don't even have to be expensive. It just be shit like, man, my toaster burns bread every fucking morning. I would love to spend the $8 for a toaster. I would love to.
Dude. But
that's, you know, crazy.
The funny thing is to me is like when you broke, you spending all the money in the world in your mind.
Hell, you know, yeah. I
mean? Like, you're like, yo, man, as soon as I get the money, man, I'm getting that shit, son. As soon as I get the money. Yes. But then when you get money, You like, do I really need that shit?
Right. You be looking at your toaster like, man, I can make it work. If I just be a little more diligent, I could got right. Like, yeah. Like the other day, I bought a tea kettle. Mm. I wanted a tea kettle for literally years since we've been broke. Like, we had a tea kettle. The tea kettle didn't fucking whistle, which is a useless tea kettle. It's the fucking point of a tea kettle. I got to go and watch it to see if it's steaming. Like, but we used that shit for years, man. Like, just because it was ours and it didn't cost us shit. Yeah. Got it from Goodwill, I believe. And I remember the other day, I was like, oh, shit, that's right. I can go buy a tea kettle, go online, look at Amazon. Tea kettle wasn't nothing but $11. But that $11 used to be stupid to spend on a ski tea kettle. Yep. Now it was like, it makes sense. I'm drinking the fuck out of some tea to last like 2 months.
Yeah, man. Like, it's like when you get it, like when you come from not really having nothing, man, and you think about all these things in your mind, man, and you work to a point where like now these things you can actually have. It's like it makes you appreciate where you are a whole hell of a lot more, man, especially when you worked for it.
Right.
You know, it's a whole lot different when somebody just gave you the shit.
Yeah.
When you actually work for everything you got, it feels a whole hell of a lot better for you to be like, you know what? I want that. Let me go get that.
Now, what was
and you get it.
What was the experience like when you said you've had your shit shut off before? What was the experience like for you when they, like, did Sam come turn your shit off or somebody cool did or what?
Nah, this was like before I was in the company. I was working for an airline at the time. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, this is around the time me and my daughter's mother were like, we had broken up. Mm. She had moved out and everything. And so like now I'm in the place by myself, but we were behind in bills like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And the gas bill was one of them. And like, of course, you know, I got notices on the doors. Like, I can't pay this shit though. Like,
right.
What you want me to do? I mean, I can't pay it. So, like I came home from work one night and like fucking place was cold. You know what I'm saying? So I turned the heat up. It didn't get no warmer. So I'm like, wait, did these motherfuckers come cut it off? Like, did they dig it up? So I go outside. Like, I went outside and I looked at the yard. Like, the yard, whoever did that backfield job did a motherfucking impressive job, man, because I couldn't even tell they dug the shit up. So I'm like, nah, don't look like they turned it off. They couldn't get inside because wasn't nobody home. So I turned on the water. I let the water run for a while. Water wouldn't get hot. I'm like, yeah, they cut me.
Yeah.
They got. And so what I ended up doing, man, I didn't have any hot water and like heat or nothing. So I had like a space heater. Mm. I was boiling my water on a hot plate, man.
Mm.
Like, you know, like I'm washing my ass out of a bowl pretty much. Cause that's like, I couldn't take a shower.
Right.
You know, everything, like when I would go grocery shopping, I bought everything that I can cook in like a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a lot of microwavable shit. Yeah, man, and I was on my knuckles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was like, dude.
Yeah. Like,
and you know, like it's experiences like that, man, that make me appreciate everything I got now, man. It's like, yeah. I don't never want to go back to that shit.
I remember I had a homie in high school. I mean, no, college, and we were on spring break. And he had a fly ass car, man. I forget what kind. This is nice, pretty red whip. And, for a spring break, we weren't going home, but they move you to a different dorm so they can kind of keep an eye on everybody. So you just take like a week worth of shit, go over there. So he had packed up his shit with like all his clothes and all this stuff. And middle of the night, he's like, hey man, you trying to go to, Wendy's? I'm like, man, I ain't got shit else to do. I'm, you know, kicking y'all ass in NCAA football. That's about it. So let's go ahead and take a break and go get something to eat. We go outside, man. He just walks around like, man, where's my car?
Oh.
I was like, you know, this is Fayetteville too, right off Murchison Road. I'm like, oh, they got you. Like your shit, like you probably got, your shit got robbed. Like you got jacked. You know, they left my Honda Accord nice and neat. my shit was next to yours. They ain't even touch it. So, you know, that's a jack to me. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I actually just turned around and walked back in. I was like, man, I guess you're going to call the cops. Cause like, I don't know what to do with this, bro. He was like, nah, man, just ride me around, man. See if we can find it. I was like, nigga, what? Like, what, they could be anywhere, and they definitely not gonna be here. And if they are, what the fuck you gonna do? Like, we don't got no weapons. You know, number one. Number two, they probably do. And number three, why would they car gonna be way faster than that shit? They just drive off on our ass, man. So he's like, nah, man, just ride me around. So I'm like, all right, I'll ride you around so you can feel better. So we ride around for like 20 minutes, man. Like, going down this way, turn this way, do this, do that. We driving, you know. I'm like, bro, can we just go back, man? We not gonna find the car tonight, man. We don't even know when they took it. Nah, it's gotta be close, man. Go this way, go that way. About that time, cell phone rings. Hold on, man, I got this. Hello? It was his girl from back home. She was like, yeah, I just got a call that they got your car. They repossessed your car. And he was like, what? He was like, yeah, they repossessed your car. They just told me that if you want your car to go pick it up in here, it's going to cost this much money. Apparently, you behind on the bill. And he was like, oh, man, all right, man, we could go back. We go back to the dorm. I was like, what happened? Oh, man, I forgot to pay my bill. I'm like, nigga, that should have been the first thing you thought. You can't not pay a bill for that long before somebody come get they shit. That's just the way it is, man. So that, you know, that just reminds me of the whole, like, you shut my shit off? Yes, man, that's the way the world works. It's sad, but yeah, nigga, if you don't pay your shit, they gonna come get it. Doesn't matter who you are. Don't act shocked, man.
You know what? It's funny because up here in Michigan, man, when, like, say if you owed on your car note or whatever, they had, like, shut-off switches in the car where they could remotely shut your car off and you couldn't start that bitch.
That's brilliant. It's fucked
so
up.
So you get in the car and it just won't start. They're like, nah, nigga, you behind.
Like, right. The
so
shit.
They wouldn't take it. Like, they probably wouldn't take it right off top, but you couldn't use that motherfucker.
When your shit don't start, it just, you hit the start, the ignition. And then it sends an electric signal to call your phone.
Yeah, like,
Your shit won't start. Hey, who is this? You know who it is, nigga. Where's our money?
hey, man, I just need a jump. Like, no, right.
You don't need a jump, dog. You need to pay your bill.
You need to pay that bill.
hey, man, so, you know, lastly, man, before we get out of here, you know, they just had a shooting at Fort Hood. So, you know, the gun control thing is back into the atmosphere of the news. They had a stabbing the other day where 22 people got stabbed. I don't know if anybody died or not. Hopefully nobody.
So.
Yeah. I guess steak knives is safer than guns. I don't think that's too controversial
nobody
to say.
Died.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's that controversial to say. But I'm noticing though, and I don't know if it's fatigue or maybe it's just me not watching the news. It seems like there's less of a debate about gun control after Steubenville. It seemed like Steubenville was the last big push, because it happened to white kids. It was the last big push to really be like, let's curb gun control. Let's get these guns off the street. Let's do this and change these laws. Seems like that was the last big push, man. Are you surprised that it's kind of like people getting that gun fatigue?
A little, well, I can't say that I'm surprised only because, just take for instance where I'm from, like where I live at in Detroit. Over the past, I want to say 2 or 3 months, we've had 8 home invasions.
Mm.
And out of those 8 home invasions, those are the home invasions where the intruder was shot and killed in the past 2 months. And unfortunately, I think what was happening is when we hear stories about, like, say, for instance, a Newtown or Columbine or Virginia Tech or Fort Hood, you know, these are they really fucked up stories. Like, but they're outliers, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, these stories aren't as common as, you know what? My mama almost got robbed a week ago. Thank God she had that 38 and got old boy up off of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are more instances of people defending themselves with guns than you have of some nut job running up into a school or running up even to, like, say, an army fort, you know, army like Fort Hood. You know, first thing, that's another thing, too. The first thing people think when they think Fort Hood, they're like, yo, they got guns all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Like, a lot of those guns are kind of put away unless they're doing military exercises.
Right.
So it's not like they got guns at the ready all the time there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's almost like, for me, it's like a common sense kind of thing to where, you know, the police react They're reactionary force. Something happens, call the police, wait for the police to get there. If you have a gun, you might be able to. You might. It's not going to guarantee you. You might be able to do something before the police get there.
Right.
To save your own life. And I think more people are starting to take on that attitude. You know, like, that, like, yo, I might need to get something for myself just to protect myself from this crazy motherfucker that might be coming up in here.
Right.
So I think that attitude is happening more and more to where, like, the gun control debate, although there should be some form of gun control,
mm-hmm.
I just think people are just getting to a point where they want to take their the responsibility of their own safety into their own hands.
Now, what do you think, like, about... Does your views as a gun owner and I would say gun ownership advocate, you know, I wouldn't say gun nut, because I think we've had many talks about it, and I've always thought that you come across very reasonable, and I've never had that moment where I'm like, this nigga crazy. Like, it's always like, that makes sense to me. So did that affect your view of the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin thing at all? Like, just the whole idea, because they did have a law on the books, technically. I think it's kind of a cowardly law, but, you know, he ended up basically getting off because they determined that he didn't truly violate the law. Did that affect the way you viewed that case, just as a gun owner?
Well, I feel like George Zimmerman was a fucking idiot, mm-hmm. and he shouldn't have been able to use that law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the circumstances of what happened between him and Trayvon Martin, where he pursued Trayvon Martin, you're not standing your ground for shit right now. You are the aggressor in this particular instance in time.
Right.
It's not as if somebody is forcing themselves upon you and you are, you know, you have no other recourse.
Right.
You pursued this particular instance. So I don't think that that George Zimmerman should have even been allowed to have that statute, you know, used as far as like the deliberations with the jury and everything. I just simply don't believe he should have been allowed to do that. Same thing here, because we have stand your ground or a form of it here in Michigan, mm-hmm. with the whole Renisha McBride thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happened in my, I live in Dearborn Heights now.
Okay.
It's not too far from where I'm at right now. His whole thing was, you know, he's protecting his house or whatever. I don't know why you would shoot somebody through a door. It's right. not as if she was like coming through the door. It's not like, you know, you saw her. I don't think he should have been able to use it either.
Okay.
I think he's going to get locked the fuck up, though, because of, you know, who the Wayne County prosecutor is and things like that. And because of the public outcry over what happened with Renisha McBride, regardless of whether or not she was drunk or whatever.
Yeah.
That should not have happened to her.
It also might help that she's a woman too. Like, yeah, not, no, no, yeah, like, you know,
like, not, dude, you that scared that this woman was gonna like do something to you in your house,
right.
and you got a shotgun, you know. Right. So, you know, those are two instances that really like kind of like I look at them as like, nah, neither one of these guys should be able to use the stand your ground statute. As same thing with Michael Dunn, mm-hmm. another guy. None of these guys should have been able to use stand your ground as a defense for whatever the fuck it was they did. They were reckless.
Right.
Those were three reckless motherfuckers using guns. But mm-hmm. when I talk to you about the 8 home invasions where the assailants were all killed,
mm-hmm.
trying to break into somebody's house, those fall under the stand your ground statute as well.
Right.
So when I talk to people about stand your ground and folks talk about like, yo, we need to get rid of this law and everything, it's like, well, damn, if you get rid of this law, you now put these people who successfully defended themselves under the gun to go to jail for just protecting themselves.
Right.
You know, so like, you know, I try to talk to people like, you know, you can't just, you know, brush it off or whitewash everything because of these few incidents. There's a lot more instances of folks protecting themselves legally and lawfully without being reckless than there are of, you know, the Trayvon Martins, the you know, Jordan Davises and the Renisha McBrides. Unfortunately, you know, these are, you know, these stories are what's pushed out to us a lot of times is, you know, white guy, black kids,
right.
White guy, black kids, white guy, black kids. Those are the ones that I pushed towards, you know, that I pushed on us. And I did my own little looking, like, as far just a little anecdotal. like on the Huffington Post, they were talking about a shooting here in Detroit where somebody went to a tax preparer's office. They didn't have their tax return ready in time or whatever. And they pulled a gun out and started shooting in the tax preparer's office.
Shit.
That made it to the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stories about the shootings where the homeowners were defending their house, none of those stories were in the Huffington Post.
Right.
So it's like, okay, they're, you know, it's almost as if, you know, I don't want to call the Huffington Post liars because I like the Huffington Post.
Right.
But it's like, if you omit these stories and don't let people know what these stories are, then all they get is this one side. It's like, well, I can't really, you know, on this issue, I can't take you seriously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I just feel like folks, you know, are really at a point now where they just feel like it's common sense for me to take my safety, the responsibility of my safety, into my own hands.
Well, also, I mean, people are kind of like attracted to the tragedy. I think I call it disasterbation, right? Like certain shit, people don't want to admit that they're obsessed with it, but they're morbid about it. And there's something about innocent people dying all at the same time, the tragedy of it. They couldn't see it coming. They didn't do anything to deserve it. There's almost more of an attraction to that than the idea of just a bullet being justice in a situation where it's like, hey, these people was going to kill this person. And if it wasn't for this gun, there, it wouldn't, you know, they'd be dead, you know, like,
yeah.
There's not, like, that story doesn't, it's not as salacious, cause it's almost like, well, that's supposed to happen. That's fine. But yeah. What's not supposed to happen is this little kid got shot at the playground. So then it's like, yeah, let's talk about that shit. And I can see where as a gun owner, it would be like, yeah, this feels unbalanced. And then the other thing I was going to say is, unfortunately, it's almost like being, it's almost like me being an Eagles fan. As an Eagles fan, most people talk to me, hey man, you're pretty cool. I didn't even know you was an Eagles fan. You know, you're pretty cool, dog. You know, what you think about your team and all this shit, and they have a good time. But when they still walk away, if you ask them 10 minutes later what they think about Eagles fans, they go, Eagles fans are assholes. Why?
Yeah.
Because there's some very obnoxious assholes that also root for the Eagles. I think that's kind of what gun ownership is, where there's some obnoxious gun owner, like people where they're like to the level of like, I'm gonna defend Zimmerman because I think it's a slippery slope to they're gonna take my gun. So let me defend this shit where it's pretty much wrong and not too many ways to view it any other way. But we need to make this guy a hero so they don't take our guns. And I think, like, you know, people like you, a lot of reasonable, responsible clothes, a lot of reasonable, responsible gun owners end up in the middle of the fray being like, whoa, not too much of this side, not too much of that side. Can we talk about the middle? You know?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I would say too, people act like we don't have laws for guns. Now, all the shit that we're reading are, like, it's funny because everything you read is shit being used unlawfully. Another law wouldn't solve a motherfucker who's like, I'm going to kill some people. You know, where people are just like, well, give them less bullets. Okay, they'll just cut, they'll buy 3 clips. You know what I'm saying? Like, people make, they want to solve for the outlier. As you brought up earlier, and mathematically, if you try to solve for that outlier, you slant the entire society towards a point where I think it's unreasonable, and it's just not gonna happen. People are gonna have to understand America was founded on guns, and they're not going anywhere. So the most we can do is hope that we get responsible, reasonable gun ownership, crack down on people that illegally have guns. But you know, I don't think we should be going at the legal gun owners, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, you know, like just say for instance, like the little incident that happened to me in Chicago a few years back, you know, where they have a mandate where, you know, we know there's a gang problem there.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of the gang members have firearms, but we also know that most of them didn't get those firearms by legal means.
Right.
And the Supreme Court actually had to rule that Chicago's gun laws were unconstitutional, and now they have to allow, you know, regular citizens concealed carry licenses. Okay, but they've made it so, you know, so hard to get a concealed carry license in Chicago that it prevents, like, you know, somebody who just wants, they just want to protect themselves. Like, they don't want to go out there and shoot nobody. They just want, like, yo, I got my kids in here in the house. Somebody come in here. What we going to do?
Right.
That type of deal. Like, they make it so hard for those people to get guns. Like, there was a handgun ban in the city of Chicago for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you just couldn't have a hand. You could have a long rifle. You couldn't have a handgun. It was, they were banned in Chicago. You couldn't have that. That's what Chicago, Heller versus the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the case. I'm not sure right now.
Right.
But, no, it was McDonald. I'm sorry. McDonald versus the city of Chicago. And, you know, that's the thing when it comes to that gun control thing is like, well, we get that you want to stop the criminals, but the criminals don't give a fuck anyway.
Yeah, the criminals aren't following the law. They're not like, oh, I want to kill Ron Ron up the street, but first I need to go pass my gun permit test. Then I'm supposed to go to, then I got to go to the shooting range. Then after that, I'm going to wait 7 to 10 days. Then I'm going to get my gun and then I'm going to kill that nigga. Like, they don't think like that. So.
No.
Every extra step that you make, where it's like, well, we gonna make it so if you want to get a gun, you gotta get DNA tested. It's like, it's not actually stopping any crime.
It's not stopping any. It's not stopping it at all. And, you know, when we talk about, like, say for instance, what happened in Newtown, mm-hmm. you know, it was a big push to ban the AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one of my AR-15s during that time because I thought they was about to ban this shit. I'm like, fuck, I need to get mine now for they, you know,
for they
ban it. But the prices, like, was skyrocketing. I paid like $2,200 for my AR-15. Now them shits go for like $600, so I'm a little pissed about it. But yeah, man, like, you know, they were doing all of that, you know, about Newtown. We need to ban the AR-15. We need to have less bullets in the magazine, you know, because AR-15 comes standard with a 30-round magazine. Mm-hmm. Now they want, you know, you shouldn't have any more than 10 rounds. Why do you need any more than 10 rounds? Yada, yada, yada. But most, you know, like, I even went to MotherJones.com and I saw, like, a list of the last, like, the last 30 years where there were mass shootings done. Most of them were done with handguns.
Right.
It's like, well, These are you know, the weapons of choice. The handgun actually is the weapon of choice for most mass shooters. Like, the AR-15 was used, I mean, one or two times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what the, you know, it's a big scary gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we go with the big scary. This is what we
and
gonna do. We
what's
go with
funny the big scary. What's funny about the Newtown thing, it wasn't his gun.
It was his mom's.
It was his mom's gun. And people also tried to do this thing where the new thing is like, well, this person must have been mentally ill, so let's examine that. He was like autistic. A lot of people have autism. You can't just be like no guns in households with people who are autistic forever. You know what I mean? Like, just like it doesn't matter. Like that's so crazy to think. But I think these tragedies bring out the most reactionary part of our brains, because even with the stabbing, for instance, right before we got on the air, I was watching the coverage of that. And the guy, they were like, what would lead to him stabbing somebody? We need to study people that are outcast at their school. We need to do this. We could prevent it before it even happens. We need to find out why. He never said why. And I keep thinking, what answer could possibly be okay?
There won't be one.
Yeah. What answer could anybody have for stabbing 22 random innocent folks that would make you go, okay, I think we got to the bottom of this thing, guys. What we need to do next thing. You know, like, it's, he was mad because he didn't get the Fort Hood dude that shot it the first time. They thought, well, he had some, it was religious terrorism or, terrorism leaning, all this stuff. This different philosophy. We think, you know, he was involved in all this, blah, blah, blah. The last dude shot it up because he couldn't get leave. Like, yeah. He was like, I want to go home. They said, man,
knock your shit.
Yeah, come back tomorrow. He's like, man, I don't feel like, all right, I'll be right. I'll be back. Came back, shot everybody up. Like that, like, you can't predict these things. And I understand, like, and I'm sure people are listening because guns is a very controversial topic. I do understand the argument against guns, because I think, honestly, there should only be two arguments. One, we already have laws. As long as you abide the law, you should be able to have your gun. I think that's closer. That's where I stand.
Yeah.
to me, the only reasonable opposition is nobody gets a gun, which I understand. I just don't, I'm not on that side, but I think that is the logical conclusion. Cause all these other, like, you can have 6 bullets or you can have 7 bullets. Like, that's not really what's going to stop somebody from wanting to kill a motherfucker. You know, a dude. You'll
find another way to do it.
Yeah. You're like, even if the person with the knives, say nobody dies. I hope nobody dies. Let's say nobody dies. I still don't want to get stabbed, baby. Like, I still just want to come to work and get my shit done. I'm trying to take a knife to the gut because I want to, you know, get to work on time or go to the coffee room. Like, it's, people are going to be crazy. And I understand the argument, which is, well, the least destructive we can make them, the better. So let's just get rid of guns altogether. That just seems so unrealistic to me that
it's not
a solution for America. So I'm more with the, can we just get the people that's not supposed to have them, like, off the streets and with no guns? Like, I'm more for that because I feel like that might can happen quicker than, you know, nobody gets a gun like Europe and shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, just enforce the laws that are on the books. We don't necessarily need any more gun laws. I mean, it's so fucking confused. I got an app on my phone to tell me where I can carry my shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, from state to state is different. So even with, like, the state of Illinois, when I go home, even though they have to allow their residents to carry concealed weapons, I don't know exactly when that goes into effect, but even when it does, that doesn't mean that they're going to honor my license from Michigan.
By the way, when they're enforcing them correctly. Cause you got hemmed up in Chicago on some bullshit. You didn't break any laws. In North Carolina, they had to let some brothers out of jail, out of prison. Cause they thought it was illegal for them to have guns if they had ever been to prison for a felony. Turns out it's not illegal in this state. But, niggas was in jail for 10 years just cause.
You know, on some bullshit.
Yeah.
And
like,
you get activist cops too, though. Cause, like, say for instance, the cop that I was, that arrested me, he was on some, you know, well, yeah, I know it's your right and everything, but why do you need to have one? Like, I didn't feel the need to have a gun until I was a police officer. Like, well, good for you, motherfucker. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right, right.
Like, what you use that? That let me know in and of itself that he was on his own personal kick about, you know, the fact that I was around, that I had a gun, but not only that, like, when he arrested me, I didn't even have it. I told him where the fuck the gun was at. Like, yo, right. You can go over to my grandma's house. It's in my bag, in the third pocket.
Right.
Like, go get it, because I'm legal with my shit. I'm trying to be
cooperative
with your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, man, I ain't a threat. I'm cool. I'm trying to respect the laws here. But, you know, that just let me know with him, it was an ideological thing where he just wasn't really respecting the fact that, yo, I chose to exercise that right, and that's what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if he could throw a monkey wrench in that and get himself a bonus in the middle of doing that, shit, by all means. Because, you know, that's mandated from, you know, police commissioner on down. Like, yo, we got to get these guns off the street.
Yeah, man. Well, so, yeah, I think that, you know, it's a complicated situation, but for me personally, it seems real simple, and maybe maybe it's just because I don't really have that much of a stake in the fight, but it just seems so fucking simple. Like, I don't have any problems with people that legally own their guns, because it's very complicated to follow the laws for owning a gun. And if you willing to do the research and follow the law, good for you, man. Because I, you know, one of the reasons I don't want a gun is because it's complicated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like, there was shit where they could put your house in the paper for having a gun. Like, you
they
know,
did.
like
right after Newtown, man, like, I think it was Buffalo, New York or something. They started, like, they put a map of everybody's house in that city that had a gun or that would register a gun on it. Like, why the fuck would you do that? Like,
right.
Now you just let everybody know, all the robbers and crooks know, like, these motherfuckers ain't got shit.
The Grinch who stole Christmas, like, all right, skip that house and go to the next one.
Big dummies.
Right. But yeah, it's crazy.
Irrational, man. Irrational thoughts.
People get so, you know, and because it involves death. People get so out of pocket about it, man. But yo, man, thank you for being on the show, dude.
No problem, this
is great, man. I think it's gonna be another episode people gonna love, man. I'll probably call it Gas and Guns with Mr. Span. You know, be safe out there, man. I'm glad to hear you you know, you're not doing the turnoffs anymore. I know it was easier, but it sounds scary as shit. So me personally, I'm glad that everything's okay. I'm I'm sorry if you're not seeing as many random titties, but
it's cool.
Now you can cool. take some jobs.
Make up for it now. The right. Make up for it.
Take the check. Go to the strip club once in a while. You still see some random titties. Make sure you guys check them out, man. The Span Report, thespanreport.com. Very good podcast, man. Always putting people on the music and stuff and giving his take on issues, man. It's always good to hear, my man Span. What are you up to? Like episode like 40 or something? I won't say 39.
Episode 39 is going to drop this weekend.
Okay. Yeah. I knew you was getting up there, man.
Episode 39, you know, it's a process with the shit. You know, I remember when I first started doing podcasts, man, like it used to take me 12 hours to put out a 1 hour show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like just sit down on a Sunday and like work all day on the podcast. So like I've got it to a point now where I can just kind of like open up the mic and just speak into it. Just like, you know what? This is what I'm thinking at the time. And just let it flow. I mean, it's like a conversation with myself and shit.
It's yeah, man. But it's dope, man. And you know, we got to have you on a regular show soon too, man. I hit you with an email. We can figure something out.
No doubt, you know, brother.
People
you know,
need that.
Big fan of y'all, man. Big fan of everything y'all doing. Whatever it is y'all doing, man, I'm gonna make sure I support in that, man. I'm just so proud to see where y'all been came from. Like when I first started listening, man, to see where y'all at now, man, is amazing. So,
yo, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always man, no appreciate doubt. It, man. That's one thing. I know Span always wrote for us. So like that's crazy, dude. Just thinking about like, you know, started from the bottom. Now we here, you know,
there you go,
bro. All right. People out there, we will be back with another Medium Talk. I already got a special guest coming that I think people gonna want to hear from. So we'll be back in quite soon. So thanks for listening to the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. Peace.